Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. This is Pastor Ralph Ovidell. Today, we're going to talk about the doctrines of Benny Hinn. The doctrines of Benny Hinn. Now, I have a tendency to not talk much about such outrageous charlatans because it seems to me that any Christian should be able to see through the likes of Benny Hinn if that Christian is reading his Bible. The man is a snarling wolf in wolf's clothing, so I tend to be more concerned, and I think in some sense rightfully so, with ravening wolves in sheep's clothing, such as Rick Warren, Billy Graham, Bill Hybels, Joel Osteen, where do I stop, Chuck Swindoll, Louis Palau, et al., I guess we should say. But Benny Hinn is a man of great influence, and he is representing himself as a minister of Jesus Christ, and so it is important that we know the man's doctrine. And of course, his doctrine is so important because if you know a man's doctrine, then you can understand why he's doing the things he's doing. And you can also understand that if his doctrine is not right, that you can expect some very bad things out of him eventually, even if he isn't going off course yet. Now, we've all seen Benny Hinn's charismatic wizardry, I suppose we could call it. We've seen it on television or news reports or whatever it might be. But how many really know the man's doctrine? And perhaps some of those gullible but very well-meaning individuals who are being taken in by Hinn's promise of physical healing and all the healing powers he supposedly has, perhaps they would rethink their position on him if they knew the doctrines of devils which he espouses. And yes, he espouses doctrines of devils. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now that warning doesn't warrant holding that the saved can become unsaved and the redeemed of God the unredeemed of the devil, but what it is, it's a warning of those false teachers whose teachings depart from the true biblical faith. Now these are men like Benny Hinn. They speak doctrines of devils, and seducing spirits put it in their mouth to speak it. And we ought to be aware of that. My guest is Reverend Ian Brown, pastor of Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church in Ulster, Northern Ireland. And I understand Reverend Brown has recently done a sermon on Benny Hinn. In fact, you can hear the sermon. It's on Sermon Audio on that website. My daughter listened to it, thought it was a great sermon. And knowing the research that Reverend Brown puts into such a sermon, I know we can benefit from what he has to bring to us on the Heart of the Matter today. Reverend Brown, thanks for being with us.
Hello, good to see you and hear from you. And hopefully something that we do say will be of real benefit to your listeners today.
That's true. I do need to be concerned. We need to be concerned with the benefit of the listeners and with the well-being of the body of Christ. These people, I mean, I don't know about you, but I tend to look at someone like Benny Hinn and think, well, everybody knows what this man is, but everyone doesn't know. And so we need to make sure they do know. And I want to start with some relevant background. What is the religious background, so to speak, of this man? Where does he come from?
Well, Benny Hinn, many years ago, felt that really even before he testified to being converted to Christ, he talked about God appearing to him way before he was born again. Now, he says that he was born again in 1972, when he was around 20 years of age. But apparently, according to his claim, 9 years before that, God had started to appear to him, give him visions, tell him that he was going to be preaching before huge crowds, and give him a profound spiritual experience. Now, in 1973, which was the year after his conversion, or claimed conversion, he says that he had a wonderful experience. He had heard the famous faith healer, apparently at the time, Catherine Kuhlman, preach, and afterwards Hinn says that he had an 8-hour experience with the Holy Spirit during a night there that changed the total direction of his life. He testified that it seemed that my room had been lifted up into the hemisphere of heaven. Now, 10 years later, he founded a church, the Orlando Christian Center in Orlando, Florida. And he pastored that church until 1999, when we understand he moved over to Texas. And from Texas now through the Trinity Broadcasting Network, TBN, headed up by Jan and Paul Crouch, he would do his daily television ministry.
Well, the man should have studied his Bible a little bit better. He obviously wasn't saved, wasn't born again, wasn't converted, and he ought to understood that the devil can come as an angel of light, and the devil can work signs and lying wonders. And we just read about the seducing spirits that we need to be aware of. And obviously the man has been taken into the devil's service through some of these things. I understand that he also holds Amy Semper McPherson, the infamous Amy Semper McPherson, in high esteem as well.
Yeah, that's undoubted. In fact, he would be a strong advocate of going along to her grave and feeling the power of the spirit, as he talks about, at both Poolman's grave and Amy Semple McPherson as well. In fact, when he was at Amy's grave on one occasion, he says, this was in the 7th of April 1991, a sermon that he preached, he testified that he'd been at the grave. I felt a terrific anointing. I was shaking all over, trembling under the power of God. Dear God, I said, I feel the anointing. I believe the anointing has lingered over Amy's body.
Hmm.
Now, that probably is his latest means of attracting people to his broadcast, that here's a man, he claims, who is able to communicate with the dead.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you may have a problem with this. I honestly don't really care. I've walked in that supernatural world. I've seen things you will never be able to understand unless you've been in it. I've had individuals appear to me in my room, not only angels. I've seen sights in prayer, incredible sights. And to go back to this Amy Semple McPherson's burial place, Kin has also said, they're going to come with me. You are going to feel the anointing at Amy's tomb. It's incredible. And Catherine's, it's amazing. I've heard of people healed when they visit that tomb. They were totally healed by God's power. You say, what a crazy thing. Now, that's not all we say, of course, that it's much more, more sinister than just being simply a crazy thing. Because what we're dealing with here is necromancy.
Yeah.
And the Holy Scriptures plainly declare that these are to be avoided. Leviticus 19:31, Leviticus 20:6, Deuteronomy 18, the verse 11, Isaiah 19, verse 3, Isaiah 8, and the verse 19. Those portions are telling us, when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead?
Yeah.
Now, that's a little bit of Benny Hinn's background as to how he got up in the faith word movement and into all of this healing phenomenon.
The faith word movement, exactly. And McPherson is, as I say, infamous in that movement as a woman preacher and a faith healer and so on and so forth. Necromancy, he says, you know, he doesn't care what we think. Well, he had better be concerned, because as you just shared, God thinks something about that as well. Now, is it true he came out of the Greek Orthodox Church? And if that is so, wasn't there a little bit of background or a little groundwork laid for him there, in the sense that the Greek Orthodox Church is so much like the Roman Catholic Church, with all this sort of a mystery religion, so to speak?
Exactly. It's all part of the big hodgepodge of confusion and mysticism, etc. And he was raised in the Greek Orthodox religion. In fact, when he abandoned that and went into Pentecostalism as a high school senior up in Toronto in Canada, when he was about 15 years of age, his family would have been extremely displeased that he had abandoned his Greek Orthodox roots. And in fact, they had told him that he had earned a trip to the psychiatrist. But yeah, he hasn't completely left those roots behind, and the Greek Orthodox religion prepared him for the kind of bizarre utterances and mystical material that he's into today.
Well, let's get right down to some specific doctrines. Now, Jesus instructed us concerning false prophets that we should know them by their fruits. Now, certainly if a man claiming to be a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ preaches obviously perverse, unbiblical doctrine, I mean, that's evil fruit. It shows the man's a false prophet. So let's start with Benny Hinn's doctrine on the Godhead. Passage after passage in the Word of God makes it clear that God is one God, existing in three persons, the same in essence, glory, and power. For instance, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, for there are three that bear a record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. What does Benny Hinn say about God in this respect?
Well, again, we're back to the usual starting point. He doesn't believe that the Word of God is sufficient. He is steamrolling through the prohibition. foundations in the Word of God, that we are not to add anything to or take anything away from the Word of God, such as Deuteronomy 4 and 2, Proverbs 30, 5 and 6, Revelation 21, 18, and also in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, we're taught that the book is sufficient to fulfill God's complete purpose for man upon the earth. But for Benny Hinn, the Bible is not enough revelation. He wants to be fresh. He wants to give out new revelations. In fact, back in December of 1990 on the TBN network, he said, please, please, please don't think we're here to repeat something you've heard for the last 50 years. If we quit giving you new revelations, we're dead. And so The Word of God is never enough. He wants to go beyond it. And he certainly did. When he began preaching on one occasion, he said, man, I feel revelation knowledge already coming on me here. Lift your hands, he commanded. Something new is going to happen here today. I feel it just as I walk down here. Holy Spirit, take over in the name of Jesus. God the Father, ladies and gentlemen, is a person. And he is a triune being by himself, separate from the Son. Now that, of course, is not what our Lord Jesus Christ has taught. In, for example, the great high priestly prayer in John 17:22, our Lord declares that the Father and the Son are one, not separate from each other, as Hinn puts it. But then Hinn went on to say, see, God the Father is a person, God the Son is a person, God the Holy Spirit is a person, but each one of them is a triune being by himself. If I can shock you, and maybe I should, there's nine of them. And he goes on, and he realizes he's pulling a shock on the congregation, that he's teaching nonsense that's most patently not in the Word of God. He says, huh, what did you say? Let me explain. God the Father, ladies and gentlemen, is a person with his own personal spirit, with his own personal soul, and his own personal spirit body. You say, I never heard that. Well, you think you're in this church to hear things you've heard for the last 50 years? You can't argue with the Word, can you? It's all in the Word. The fact of the matter is, it's not in the Word.
Yeah.
It's quite ironic as well that the station that he uses to peddle his false doctrine is called the Trinity Broadcasting Network. And yet in his teaching, he is very much against the biblical definition and presentation of the Trinity.
Well, the Bible tells us that the Word of God is forever settled. And according to Benny Hinn, it's not settled. We should add to it. We should subtract to it from it. We should change it. New revelations. This is a very, very evil man. I will say that. He is an evil, evil man. And doesn't he say things pertaining to Jesus as far as we believe that Jesus is impeccable, that there was no sin in him? The Bible says, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. That he had no sin in him. He was incapable of sinning. Because he was, of course, truly God manifested in the flesh. Now, what does Benny Hinn say about Jesus and his nature?
Well, one of the most outrageous and damnable heresies that Benny Hinn has spawned has concerned the person of the Lord Jesus. Good Morning, Holy Spirit, a book that he published in 1990, the pages 135-136, Hinn says, and let me add this, had the Holy Spirit not been with Jesus, he would have sinned. That's right. It was the Holy Spirit that was the power that kept him pure. He was not only sent from heaven, but he was called the Son of Man, and as such he was capable of sinning. Without the Holy Ghost, Jesus would never have made it. Can you imagine Christ headed for the grave, knowing he would remain there forever, if the Holy Ghost would change his mind about raising him from the dead? But in those sentences, what a clutch of blasphemy we have. Because, as you've just pointed out, the book of God tells us our Lord Jesus was not only able not to sin, but that he was not able to sin. The theologian's term is, he was impeccable. But Hinn goes on and he compounds that error by saying that Jesus took on Satan's nature. Now, Hebrews 2:17-18 make it clear that he didn't take on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the nature and the seed of Abraham, but Hinn says, no, he took on the devil's nature. Jesus knew the only way he would stop Satan is by becoming one in nature with him. And he broadcast that on TBN 15th of December 1990. He also claimed that Jesus died spiritually. Before he died, Hinn says, I should say, on that cross, something happened to him. which began the wheels of the new creation moving, that was this: he died spiritually. He went on to say Jesus Christ understood that spiritual death is union with the satanic nature. What is spiritual death? He questioned. Separation from God. So, it's utterly outrageous.
It's just evil. It's pure evil through and through. I mean, these are utterances that come right from the devil himself. They're doctrines of devils. And someone might be listening. They say, yes, but what about this healing? Well, we could say much about this so-called healing as well, which has been shown to be fraudulent. But the bottom line is, that's not the point. What about this healing? What about this man's doctrine? Listen to what he's saying. Listen to how he blasphemes God. Have nothing to do with him. You're to mark and separate from such a man. So everything else is irrelevant at this point when you see this sort of doctrine and hear this sort of blasphemy spewing from this man. You have nothing to do with this man except to confront him and reprove his unfruitful works of darkness. That's what we're to do. But this whole, I've got a couple of other questions, of course, I want to ask about his doctrine as well, but I want to go back to the foundation a little bit too here. I mean, this charismatic movement, this charismatic, these doctrines that are being preached to the charismatic movement, I mean, this is what opens people up to great danger, I believe. Don't you believe that? I mean, if people are going to step away from the scriptures and start saying, well, you know, the Holy Spirit is telling us something all new, some new revelation, I mean, you've just opened yourself up to some very, very dangerous things that can happen in your life, dangerous doctrines and dangerous presuppositions. And it's I think it does go back to this whole charismatic movement, don't you think?
It very much does, because the charismatic teacher, having put himself on the platform of I can provide new revelations, He must better the previous revelation each time. And so he's going to be dredging up further error, worse error, the further he goes. And when you've got a whole proliferation of charismatic leaders who are claiming to be ministering under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who say that we have several or even we have all of the spiritual gifts that were given to the apostles in the early church, we can amuse people with our supposed revelations in the exercise of the gifts of prophecy and wisdom and knowledge, when they then step forward and say that we have direct communications from and with God. Jesus Christ is talking to us. The Holy Spirit is inspiring us. And they're always insisting then that we have received power and authority that is identical to, even greater than, these apostles and the prophets of the first century. And that's exactly the platform that Benny Hinn is standing on. In fact, on some occasions he's standing up and he's saying that he is so drunken in the Spirit, he doesn't quite realize what he's just said. On occasions he said, I hope you've recorded that. I hope we can watch the video of that or hear that on cassette tape again, because I'm not sure what I've said. I've been so taken up by the Holy Spirit.
Oh, we're to praise God with our spirits and with our mind as well. And certainly a preacher that can't remember what he just said, that's a preacher I would get away from as fast as I could. Now, he also has his version of the creation of man as well, I understand.
He does. And just one further point on the blasphemies against our Lord Jesus
Christ. Yeah, make that point.
He claimed that Jesus had to be born again. My, he says, you know, whoosh, the Holy Ghost is just showing me some stuff. I'm getting dizzy. I'm telling you the truth. It's just heavy right now on me. And referring to Jesus, he said he's in the underworld now. God isn't there. The Holy Ghost isn't there. And the Bible says he was begotten. Do you know what the word begotten means? It means be born. Then he says, do you want another shocker? Have you been begotten? So was he. Don't let anyone deceive you. Jesus was reborn. You say, what are you talking about? He was reborn. He had to be reborn. If he was not reborn, I could not be reborn. I would never be reborn. How can I face Jesus and say, Jesus, you went through everything I've gone through except the new birth? And so therefore he's saying that Jesus shed blood was insufficient for the redemption of man. He had to suffer at Satan's hands in hell and be born again as the first man to conquer death.
And how was Jesus, his incarnation, described? The angel told Mary, speaking of Jesus, that holy thing. And when Jesus went to John the Baptist, what did he say? You know, it was his baptism. John didn't want to do it, did he? But Jesus said, no, we'll do it. to fulfill the word of God. It wasn't necessary. There was no baptism necessary for Jesus. And we could go on and on and on and refute this horrific heresy with Scripture. But let's go to his, I'm watching the clock. We have about 10 minutes left. I do want to get to this as well. People who are getting their appetite whetted, I hope to hear more about this, because they can go to Sermon Audio, but this is not just Benny Hinn. These are doctrines of devils, and we ought to understand why they are doctrines of devils. And when you begin to speak of our Lord, our High Priest this way, who's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, I mean, this is an enemy of the gospel and the word of God, and we ought to stand against him as he is. And so, Sermon Audio, you can go. What is, for your particular sermons, where can people go for that?
We're on sermonaudio.com/Ian Brown.
Okay, if people want to hear that sermon. All right, let's talk a little bit about Benny Hinn's version of how God created man and what sort of creature he created.
Yeah, I guess we could nearly have said how Benny created man, because we will come to this subject of creation in just a second. But given the fact that Benny has brought Jesus down so low and said that he was capable of sin, he took on Satan's nature, he died spiritually, he had to be born again, having reduced our Lord Jesus Christ down to those despicable levels, it's then very easy for Benny to put himself on the same level, and he says, "I am a little Messiah, walking on earth." That's a shocking revelation. May I say it like this? You are a little God on earth, running around. On another occasion at a spiritual warfare seminar on the 2nd of May 1990, he said, "So I'm Benny Jehovah. I'm a super being. I'm a God man. I'm a sample of Jesus." So having brought Christ down to the level he has, it's no difficulty for Benny Hinn to be found on the same level.
So God is a sinner, and the sinner is God, is what he's done here. I mean, that's essentially what he's saying. God is a sinner, and the sinners are God. Unbelievable. Well, go on.
Well, on the subject of creation, he has sided with the evolutionists. He popularizes the millions of years myth. He states billions of years ago, not millions, billions of years ago, God created the heavens and the earth. So he's into theistic evolution of nothing else. Now, his opinion of Adam is rather strange. Adam he views as the first Superman. Adam was a super being, he says, and I'm quoting him, when God created him. I don't know whether people know this, but he was the first Superman that really ever lived. First of all, the scriptures declare plainly that he had dominion over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, which means that he used to fly. Of course, how can he have dominion over the birds and not be able to do what they do? He then goes on to talk about this word dominion in the Hebrew, and he says it clearly declares that if you have dominion over a subject, that you do everything that subject does. In other words, that subject, if it does something you cannot do, you don't have dominion over it. I'll prove it further. Adam not only flew, he flew to space. He was with one thought, he would be on the moon. So, I mean, Superman really doesn't get a look in here, though he casts Adam in that role. I mean, Adam has been much better than any Superman has ever been. He could fly so much further, and he was able to reach the moon.
Look, I mean, it's tempting to laugh here. I mean, it's so ludicrous. It's so ridiculous. It's so stupid. I'll just say it. It's just so stupid. And yet, we dare not laugh. I mean, this man is very evil, and he does draw huge, huge crowds, doesn't he? I mean, huge crowds. He was in Fiji, and he drew, I think, about half of the population to his crusades.
Yes, massive people will follow him, and some people have pointed out that a lot of the people that are in the crowds, be it in America, be it wherever else, would be saved people, but people who are gullibly accepting a lot of the material that's being pushed out here, or at least being confused by the kind of material that is being pushed out. He said about man's reproduction, the Holy Ghost says, God's original plan is that the woman was to bring forth her children out of her side. Again, another example of sheer lunacy. But he said that on Our Position in Christ, number 5, an audio tape, side 2, that he preached in 1990. Evidently, he needs to get back to the Bible once more and read Psalm 127, to verse 3. But these things are so ridiculous that they're so easily disproved.
They are ridiculous, and they should leave people with no excuse. They should get away from him. But I think really the reason people are flocking to him is because isn't it that we don't put the glory of God first? Isn't it that we don't put the word of God first? But if someone sees something that they perceive they're going to get some good out of something, they set aside the word of God, they set aside the glory of God, they set aside the glory due to his name, and they just go to some charlatan because they might get something from him. And, of course, that's very dangerous.
Yes, and you mentioned the roots of the Greek Orthodox beginning to snake through and come through as well. You'll know that Hinn's errors have been compounded when he has extolled the virtues of the Pope and Roman Catholicism. In fact, there was one occasion when he was describing a Catholic communion service that he took part in. And he said on Praise the Lord, the TBN network, on the 27th of December 1994, I reached out and touched a robe which had a silky feeling, a beautiful softness to the robe. The next thing I was feeling was actually the form of a body, the shape of a body, and my body went totally numb. And God really gave me a revelation that night, that when we partake communion, it's not just communion. We are partaking Christ Jesus himself. Hmm. He did not say, take, eat, this represents my body. He said, this is my body broken for you. So Hinn makes the conclusion, when you partake communion, you're partaking Christ, and that heals your body. When you partake Jesus, how can you stay weak? Sick, he questions. And so tonight, as we partake communion, we are not partaking bread. We are partaking what he said we would be partaking of. This is my body. So, clearly, he's fallen hook, line, and sinker for the Roman Catholic teaching of the Mass.
Transubstantiation, the real presence. We could give some encouragement. You maybe have some, I know there's many other doctrines, that's why we'll encourage people to listen to your sermon on this. There's many other doctrines we could deal with when it comes to Benny Hinn. But some encouragement, when he was, I mentioned Fiji, when he was there, at least some pastors spoke out against him, right?
Yes, there were two Baptist pastors that actually launched quite a concerted campaign to try to deny him entry into Fiji. And they were bracketing him along with the founder of the Unification Church, Dr. Sun Moon, and trying to get the government to say in Fiji, no, we don't want you, you're not welcome here. We have people here who are quite poor and are going to be giving a lot of money to your campaigns. And we know your miraculous healings that you're claiming have been fraudulent. We have been handed a lot of material here to prove that. But we were glad, yeah, that the two Baptist pastors and others behind them united together and tried to get him denied access.
I know that in other places around the country, I know here in Wisconsin, he's come to, I think, Milwaukee, and some people went out and they preached in front of his show, so to speak. And I hope that in other places, people will take the opportunity to go out and share truth and rebuke this man and confront those who would defend him and confront them with the word of God. Because, I mean, when you see this man's doctrine, he's easy enough to refute with the word of God, and that's what we ought to do. We have a couple minutes left here. Is there anything else you wanted to share about this?
Well, I think really that the one in Fiji, one of the pastors made a very valid point. He said, if Benny Hinn comes into Fiji, we should take him straight to the CWM hospital or even to the mortuary to heal those people who really need it most.
Yeah.
And he was talking about he doubted Hinn's capabilities to heal people, and he claimed that he had material that would prove that Mr. Hinn's miraculous healings were not real. In fact, I read an article recently by one of Hinn's supporters, a person that was defending him and defending him to the hilt. But even he was saying that, you know, you raise your eyebrow whenever on the stage you look and you see all of these shiny, nicely polished row of wheelchairs and then people on them, as much as, you know, they don't look genuine cases. These are not old, battered wheelchairs that have been used for quite some time. Everything is so stage-managed, and everything is so artificial, and everything has an air of unreality about it. And, of course, that's exactly true.
Why doesn't he go to the hospitals? Why doesn't he go to the morgue? I mean, it reminds me of the Pope, who can grant indulgences to get the Catholic people out of purgatory quicker, supposedly. He grants indulgences. He draws on the treasury of merits, the supererogatory works of the saints and of Jesus and of Mary and on and on and on. Why doesn't he just let everyone out of purgatory? You know, it's the same thing with Benny Hinn. It shows them both to be frauds, I think.
Well, yeah, I think 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1-3 and then verse 18 sums it all up. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And verse 18 says, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them that live in error.
Well, these are wells, as the scriptures say, without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. So again, we say, get away from these men. Don't share in their sin. Get away from the tents of the wicked. Reverend Ian Brown, so good to have you on the Heart of the Matter again. We thank you for the stands you've been taking, not only with regard to this great important issue, but with regard to many other issues as well. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much. It's a privilege.